Evansville's first radio station is now off the air, ending more than 100 years of broadcasting. I'm David James, and next on 2 Main Street, my conversation with two radio veterans, Randy Wheeler and Rob Calhoun, as we share our memories of 1280 WGBF. What were the early programs? Who were the personalities? And when Wolfman Jack came to town to launch the River City Rocker. We'll go back to the 1920s when a retail store on Main Street started WGBF to sell its furniture, and follow the station as it became an NBC affiliate in the golden age of radio. And the demise of AM radio when FM took over as the leading voice on the dial. 2 Main Street is next, presented by the Berger Wren Group at Bayard Private Wealth Management. From the WNIN Public Media Center in downtown Evansville, I'm David James, and this is 2 Main Street, remembering Evansville's first radio station, now off the air after more than a century of broadcasting. And some personal history now. I landed my first job in broadcasting at 1280 WGBF, and that was more than 50 years ago. I covered local news. I worked alongside J.C. Curlin and Marv Bates, both legends in local broadcasting. I covered the Bull Island Rock Festival for NBC's Monitor Network and learned how to write for broadcast. You get right to the point, use short sound bites, and learn how to fill time on a slow news day.
Oh, yes.
And you can always talk about the weather. I know that. Now, those skills served me well as I moved from radio to television at WFIE in a 41-year career as a news anchor. So it was sad to hear that after 100 years of broadcasting, WGBF 1280 is now silent. WGBF was Evansville's first radio station, dating back to the 1920s, operating out of Fink's Furniture Store on Main Street, only 50 watts of power. The call letters WGBF goodbyes in furniture. Here to share their radio memories are veteran broadcasters Randy Wheeler and Rob Calhoun. Randy Wheeler was a news director at WGBF before becoming news director at WIKY, where he retired in 2015. Mm-hmm. Randy is very active in the community and is past president of the Indiana Associated Broadcasters. Rob Calhoun has been in the radio world for more than 40 years, working in and around Evansville. He currently manages TV stations owned by Three Sisters Broadcasting in Evansville and has a morning show for Clay County Country in Floor, Illinois. So welcome, guys, to 2 Main Street.
Glad to be here.
Good to have you here, and we're going to share some memories. So did the silencing of WGBF come as a surprise in the radio business? Who wants to tackle that first?
Kind of, sort of. The problem is AM radio listening has fallen off just to very minimal.
Mm-hmm. And that's everywhere, right?
Everywhere. Yeah. Okay. There's a few survivors. WLW is a good one in Cincinnati. But essentially what happened was several factors. Number one, the listenership wasn't there. Also, they didn't own the property that the tower is set on out there on Morgan Avenue in Burkhart, and there was a lot of push to get them out of there, and it finally just got to the point of, okay, we've just done with it and move on. So the towers are still sitting out there, so eventually they will come down, and the building out there with the transmitter will come down too at some point. But
they still have an FM signal, right?
Yes.
Yeah, 103, which is,
yes. Ann Foston, Kentucky.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Right. They shoot across the state line. Yeah.
So that surprised you, Randy, when GBF went off the air? I know you used to work there.
Yeah, it disappointed me.
Really?
Yeah, because, you know, you have a certain equity, you know, where you've worked before. Mm-hmm. You're still close to it, even though maybe you're a competing radio station. But, you know, you go back to the memories of that radio station. We'll be getting to that soon, you know, getting into the 75 River City Rocker era.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, it becomes now part of Lost Evansville. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those icons now gone. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when did FM overtake AM?
1978 was the magic year.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What had happened, FM had developed actually in the late 30s, and it sat there because nobody knew what to do with it. The FCC said, okay, you either use it or lose it. And stations started doing something with it, and that came out what they call underground programming, playing the album cuts. And eventually the mainstream step moved over. And by the late 70s, it was very apparent that AM was losing music listeners. And it reinvented itself in talk radio. Mm-hmm. But even that has kind of faded away with the aging of the audience.
Yeah.
Right. So it was a big difference. There were stations, the biggie, if anybody's into the radio thing, was WABC in New York, you know, was the number one radio station in the country. Mm-hmm. And magically, by 5 years later, they were out of business. They went to talk.
Yeah.
Wow.
And a lot of stations that were big stations wound up fading to nothing. Because it just went and there was nothing else to do but talk. And if you did talk on one station, that was it.
Well, the early AM stations were so powerful. Mm-hmm. You can listen to stations all across the country.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, WSM in Nashville, Grand Ole Opry, of course.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
Chicago stations were booming
mm-hmm.
in.
Mm-hmm. And ironically, GBF at night had to restrict its signal because of that, because the yeah. AM signals travel everywhere.
Hmm.
So it looks like, well, when it was operating, kind of like a three-leaf clover. So they had to protect a station in New Orleans and a few others. So daytime, it's a circle.
Yeah. yeah.
And at nighttime, they had to go into this pattern. So you could, like, drive and maybe drive through what they call a null, and the station disappears.
Mm-hmm. Right. FM was so unimportant.
Yes.
And the FCC was worried about the future of it. So that every 7 years, the station would have to come back, an AM station, to get relicensed. They'd say, okay, you have to have an FM station, too, and you have to support that.
Mm-hmm.
And, now, let's yeah. go back to those first radio stations in the 1920s,
yes.
WGBF on the air. I think the first signal was like in 1924 or 23.
I've heard that, yeah. Mm, yeah. It seems like it really started in 25, but they apparently got the license in 23, I guess.
But back then, I understand only 1% of households
yeah.
owned a radio, yeah. and I'm sure those were massive.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Just gather around the radio time, you know, listen to the Lone Ranger.
That's right. So what were those early programs like, guys?
Oh.
Theater of the Mind.
Exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They had to have programming, so they started coming up with things. It was local, and then we started getting networks. NBC was first, CBS, and, you know, ABC and the other ones. Mm-hmm. Mutual, too, had the Lone Ranger. So.
Yeah, right.
You guys listened to radio as kids?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, on my crystal radio.
Oh, yeah, the crystal yes. radio.
Connected to my bed springs as the antenna.
There you go.
So what early stations you listen to?
WGN in Chicago, WLS, mm-hmm. because I was in southwest suburbs of Chicago. And so those were the handy ones to get. Every once in a while, you get adventuristic, you know, start moving around and say, hear Minneapolis, WCCO.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that, the mystery of it, too. Mm-hmm. Wasn't it? Yeah. Just the mystery of radio is great stuff.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now, of course, in the 1930s, radios were in most homes.
Yep.
And in the mm-hmm. 40s and 50s, the golden age of radio.
Yes.
Tell me about the golden age of radio, guys.
The shadow knows.
Yeah. Fibber McGee and all, and yes. Molly, you know. And
yeah, Jack Benny and all yeah. that stuff.
And, of course, a lot of those programs evolved into television, too, didn't they?
Yes, yeah, they did. Yeah, it was what kind of changed radio.
Right, mm-hmm. right. Okay. And, of course, they covered, they had live concerts.
Mm-hmm.
I know even the networks had their own orchestras.
Yes, NBC.
Absolutely.
That was
yeah.
incredible.
When you think of the War of the Worlds, remember?
Oh, yeah, Orson yeah. Welles.
Yep.
Right, yeah. And there was a studio orchestra would come in between the little sound bites that HGO, you know, Orson Welles was doing.
Yeah.
And, they had their own. Audience, you know, yeah. they're on the orchestra right there.
They said back the War of the Worlds was that most people were listening to Charlie McCarthy, mm-hmm. and they got tired and went over to CBS, and yeah. they didn't hear the disclaimer. Mm-hmm. They just heard Martians attacking New Jersey, and
yeah,
you know,
and of course that caused a big furor
yes,
afterwards.
It did. Yeah,
the fake broadcast, mm-hmm. and people were in an uproar about that.
Yeah.
How it caused the panic.
The power of radio yeah. and the imagination.
That's right.
And the FCC stepped in and said, hold on now. You know, you can't do this anymore.
Of course, the rest of ratings were incredible.
And the publicity.
Yeah. Mm. Speaking of ratings,
yes.
how do they determine ratings now in radio?
It involves a dartboard and a dart. Yeah. Actually, what we do in this market, 1,000 diaries go out.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the diaries still go
yeah.
out?
Oh, yes. Right. This is, okay, it is 2026, and we're still doing diaries.
Mm-hmm.
Now, major markets do it differently, but what it is, about 1,000 people get a little diary, and they write down what they listen to, which is kind of a miracle. You have to remember what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really more of a popularity contest more than mm-hmm. anything else. Mm-hmm. So as long as you've got a long-standing brand, like, let's say, Wiki, mm-hmm. it's always going to do well unless they do something really, so...
Do they still give you like a dollar or something?
Yeah,
to do that?
Yeah, $1.
Yeah. $1.
Yeah.
It's worth your time.
Mm-hmm. And a book. And the interesting thing is, after I retired, I actually received a radio diary.
Did you know?
I thought, wow. So I found out how people really approach that. At the end of the week, you sit down and say, oh, I got to do the diary. Okay, I listen to that. I think maybe that.
Yeah, I've never heard of that station.
Right, yeah.
Well, I posted on my Facebook page when we talk about ratings. I said, I'm just hoping one day that Tiny Hughes returns to number one on the ratings.
Absolutely.
He's been dead for 40 years, but
WROZ.
Hey.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, yeah. Rosie.
Rosie Radio.
There you go. Above Farmer's Daughter.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Yep.
Downtown Evansville.
Yeah, moved to the hill.
I've been around a while, too, guys, I tell you. Okay, now, of course, WGBF 1280, we're talking about its demise. Mm-hmm. It started in a furniture store,
yes.
Which was 37 Brass Footsteps from Maine in downtown Evansville.
On Vine Street.
Yep.
That's right. Uh-huh. Fink's Furniture opened in 1902. The station was founded by L.B. Fink and his son, Harold.
Mm-hmm.
The call letters to sell furniture, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was an advertising ploy, really.
Opponents said, we've got bum furniture. WGBF.
Actually, they issued the call letters sequentially, but they saw those callers coming up and say, we want them. Okay. That was,
yeah.
Yeah. So it worked out for them.
Mm-hmm.
Or we got big feet, the other one I've been told.
Yeah.
And the first broadcast, was December 26th. 1924.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that might be debated. I don't know. No, anybody's going to challenge that? I don't know. If they...
It was sometime in the 20s. We'll leave it.
Yeah, there we go. And in 1928, Evansville on the Air took over operation of WGBS, boosted the power up to 500, then 1,000 watts.
Yep.
Wow,
yep.
They could go, I guess, outside the county maybe
there you
then.
Go.
Yeah.
They moved operations to the 600 block of Maine.
Mm-hmm.
And WGBF became affiliated with the National Broadcasting Company's Red and Blue Networks. What are the Red and Blue Networks?
Red was the main network. Blue, if I remember, Blue became ABC, but the Blue was more of an arts entertainment network. So the mainstream was Red. Blue was like the secondary.
Yeah, the Theater of the Air was really on the Blue Net.
Yes.
Yeah.
Theater of the Air.
There you go.
That was all the exciting programs, right?
Right.
The serials.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Evansville on the Air put WEOA,
yep.
Mm-hmm. Which stands for Evansville on the Air, in 1936, and that was affiliated with CBS,
mm-hmm.
the
yep.
Columbia Broadcasting System. So we had NBC and CBS in Evansville then.
You're
sharing
set.
The same frequency.
I know.
Actually, two frequencies.
Did they?
Yeah, 1280.
Split apart?
Yeah, it was 1400 was on. It was.
Okay,
yeah.
That was before Rosie.
Yeah.
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 So they had a monopoly there.
They did.
And then the FCC said in the 40s, you can't do that. And now what happened?
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
So the station moves a couple of times.
Yeah.
The big fire.
Yeah. I think it was 60s.
I think
60s?
So.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah.
And that was it on Diamond Avenue?
Yes, it was.
Diamond and Kentucky.
Yeah.
Wow. And then, of course, then they moved to Washington Avenue across from Ascension St. Mary's now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's where I worked at WGBF.
Yes.
And I remember they had like a dental lab
in
the building, too, which I thought that was a bizarre combination.
Yeah, you walked in the door and there was a strange smell, and you thought, oh, okay, they're drilling teeth down there, you know?
And I think sometimes it may interfere with a signal, too, pick up strange static.
Yeah, that's what it was.
I know it.
The ratings were not fantastic. Like down, 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 down. And a fellow by the name of Vernon Nolte up at Rockford, who owned WROK, and another gentleman from WJBC in Bloomington, Illinois, came in and bought the radio station in 75. And they sent a little team of us down here to decide on format and things like that. We went around and did our due diligence. Didn't use that term back then. But, you know, we monitored the market a lot and talked to a lot of people and said, you know, what does this radio market really need? And WJPS was doing rock and roll at that time. But not as well as could be done. And so we decided there was a vulnerability there, and let's go for it. Let's go ahead and do rock and roll. And so we kicked off the format by bringing in Wolfman Jack. It was a huge party at Funky's, and then Wolfman Jack, wavering back and forth a little bit, went over to WGBF, and we threw on the microphone. That's the first thing they heard as far as rock and roll radio. Hey, there's Wolfman, baby.
Where's my monitor?
Yeah, right.
So would you shepherd him around town, Randy? Were you in charge of Wolfman Jack?
I followed him around more or less. Yeah, there were several of us moved around. We had a nice meal at Funky's, and then came over to WGBF and showed him the studios, and he seemed duly impressed, you know. We'd gussied it up pretty much. And then he sat down in the big microphone and threw it on, and hey, we're rock and roll, baby.
So he did a lot of banter between then?
Oh, yeah.
Did he do so? He did. Yeah. Earned his keep then?
Yes, he did.
And
yes.
launched the rocker.
He did.
Wow, that's great.
And to put it in perspective, when GBF, in the 1974 ratings, GBF, I think, had a 6 share, 12 plus. JPS had a 25 share among radio listeners. Mm-hmm. 3 years later, it flip-flopped, and JPS was at a 0.6. The Princeton stations were beating them.
Wow. Yeah.
And then they had to do the changes, and they kind of figured it out, and then was it country, and then they went religion as VHI.
So
You went from owning the market to, I mean, just amazing what happened years
Changing
ago.
Changing formats.
You got it. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
My guests are Randy Wheeler and Rob Calhoun, each with a long career in broadcasting. We are remembering Evansville's first radio station, 1280 WGBF, now off the air after more than a century of providing news and entertainment in the tri-state. Now, coming up, we'll learn more about my guests and their broadcast memories. And remember some local radio celebrities on WGBF. I'm David James. This is 2 Main Street, and we'll be right back.
Your first tri-state radio station, WGBF.
Welcome back to 2 Main Street. I'm David James. My guests are Rob Calhoun and Randy Wheeler. We are remembering Evansville's first radio station, 1280 WGBF, now silent after more than a century of broadcasting. Now, before we turn back the dial to remember some of the personalities on WGBF over the years, let's learn more about my guests and their radio journey. Randy, let's start with you. Where did you grow up? Your first radio job?
First radio job, I was a sophomore in high school. It was in Joliet, Illinois.
At your hometown?
WJOL. I live near Joliet. I was between Joliet and Chicago Heights on Lincoln Highway, Route 30.
WJOL.
JOL. And what happened was
that
rock
AM
and roll
station, or?
Was an AM station, 1340. And this thing called rock and roll was just starting to be noticed. And the station decided, you know, we probably should be doing that. But none of the DJs there wanted to dirty their hands with it. And so they...
What so were they playing?
what we called MOR, middle of the road.
Oh.
Like WGBF, you know, when we came here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Inoffensive.
Yes.
Background music.
Kind of, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, Lawrence Welk and Rosemary Clooney and that kind of folks.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so they decided, okay, there are 5 area high schools in this area, and we'll have a DJ from each of the high schools, a DJ from them, sort of. Come in, and they will announce the records as they're being played. So one of their DJs actually spun the records, and we announced the records. And I had Thursday night for 3 years, sophomore, junior, senior in high school. And from there, I went to NIU, Northern Illinois University. And in about a year, I was the station manager for WNIU, the FM station in DeKalb, Illinois. I did that for a while, and then WLBK, which was the DeKalb commercial radio station, gave me a call, and they said, hey, we'd like you to come over here and start doing news, because I was a journalism major.
Mm-hmm.
So I went over there and started doing news, and I also then ended up doing an early morning show, which was fun. So I had my time as DJ back.
Mm-hmm.
I did that for not terribly long. Then WRRR were in Rockford, Illinois, called me. And said, hey, we've been listening to you, kid. You want to come up here and try out? So I went up and tried out. And I worked there for about 5 years. And then WROK in Rockford, the competitor, called me, who I was doing afternoon news. And they called our afternoon DJ. And we didn't know that they were calling both of us. So news director's talking to me, and the program director's talking to this other guy, Mark Larson. And all of a sudden it was announced that we were going to do an afternoon shift from the east side of Rockford to the west side. Their DJ and our news guy are coming over here. The city said, wow, okay, that's different. So I was there for a few years, and then Vern Nolte bought WGBF and came down here, and the rest is history.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Short story.
Yeah. So Rob Calhoun, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Lexington, Kentucky. My first job in radio actually was in Jenkins, Kentucky. at WIFX Radio, which was owned by the cousin of Buddy Kincer, Buddy Scott.
Okay, yeah.
Little connection there. That's where I got the bug. I later worked at WVLK Lexington, full service. We basically invented sports coverage with UK. And also, I was at EKU. I worked at WEKU, did everything from news to on-air. You know, I had to learn how to pronounce the classical names. Mm-hmm. And especially when you're back timing, okay, can't pronounce. Okay, finally, something I can pronounce now. Back time to news. after that, I wound up in Owensboro working at WVJS, which was at the time of what they call a full service, kind of like what Wiki was.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And what Wiki is today. Mm-hmm. And was there until they ended. And then I worked at another station. It wasn't a fun time. I got back in radio at STO and was there for its collapse about 30 years ago, which is depressing.
Did you work with Joel Utley?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did. I have lunch with him once a month. We have a kind of like the Moldy Microphone Club over here. They have one over there with Jim Parr, Carl Davis, who worked with Randy, and myself. So we just sit there. And Jim Parr, too. So we just sit there and talk.
Joel Utley, of course, the longtime radio voice of the Kentucky Wesleyan Panthers.
Exactly, yes.
Boy, he's an icon, too.
There's an icon.
In Tri-State Broadcasting.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And quite a gentleman, too.
Very much so.
Excellent gentleman.
Good guy.
So how did you get over to Evansville then?
Okay. Well, I also did audiovisual work for the executive in Owensboro. I worked at the Bluegrass Museum, and I started working part-time at Wiki. I just decided I wanted to do it again. So I was working there part-time for a couple of years, doing a lot of filling out in the afternoon show because my program director didn't show up to work.
Did I say that?
No. He's out of the market, don't worry.
Yeah,
and then I wound up being full-time and just...
promotions manager, too.
Yeah, so it was promotions, and it just...
You were a vagabond.
Tell me about it. I leave them in shambles, and I do everything. I was there, and things were not working out, so I got out of radio and went into another thing, and then I got back into radio at a station down in Morganfield, and that was not a good idea. And I worked for another owner, and that, again, was another bad idea. I worked for LPI, which is a company that sells church bulletin ads, and actually did well with that until my sales dried up. Then I got back into radio, actually kind of getting to this point. I got with Clay County Country. WNOI is in Flora, Illinois, and it's a station owned by a farmer in Mount Carmel who has no intention of buying all the radio stations. So we're just a small town radio station, and they started a second station. So I've been involved with that for the last 10 years. Mm-hmm. And I do it from my home on the west side. I have everything in front of me. And just like what I do, I play Waylon and Merle Haggard records and have fun. Willie, too.
Well, got to be. Yeah,
that's right. So what about Three Sisters Broadcasting?
My other gig.
Yeah.
That is John Dunn's TV company. Of course, Dunn is involved with hospitality, with hotels, but he was a longtime broadcaster. So he has a couple of TV stations, which I manage. So one of which is Antenna TV. If you've seen that on cable, that's us. And then the other one is Telemundo, which is one we run. So I've been doing that for 5 years. So I have control of that from the house. So, you know, occasionally I got to run to the transmitter site, which is actually on the same site as WNIN.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
A long drive. 30 minutes seems like 2 hours going out. That's out there. Pels are out there. It's about south of Boonville. Yeah, our tower is the shorter. The tall tower is Channel 9 and 88.3.
Mm-hmm.
So I do that and a few other things, but it's just something to do.
It's in your blood, though.
I've always said there are actually just 500 hardline radio broadcasters in the United States.
They just move around.
And Rob is 10 of them.
Oh, goodness, thank you. Appreciate
definitely.
That.
Okay. Your first days on the air. How did that go, guys?
Gosh.
Was it smooth? Were you terrified? Were you just excited?
Pretty much terrified.
Looking at all those knobs and switches and things.
Did somebody tell you how to do it, or did you have to figure it out?
Had to figure it out.
Me too.
You're on your own, baby.
They'll say, take it away, right?
Yeah, they said, here, this is a Gates board, you know, which was the board, you know, eight channels, or eight pots, as we call them.
Yes.
Potentiometers turning up and down, you know, records and microphones and all that. And switches, and I said, here it is. Go for it.
Now, did you have to have a broadcast license back then?
Well, not to speak on the air, though.
No, but because the fact that I was first guy in the building turning on the transmitter, I had to have a Class 2 license.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
I bring that up because when I worked at BOK, we had transmitter engineers. So whenever I had somebody tell me you have to have a license to be on the air, I go, no, you don't.
That's fancy.
Yes. Yeah. So you had a nice little house out there with the FM automation, and you just I was a transmitter engineer out there. It was easy. Mm-hmm. You just kind of make sure it's on the air.
So what about Rob when you first got in front of the microphone?
Oh, my goodness. My favorite, I had no, just like what Randy, what we talked about, there was no real training. So they decided that they didn't need a news person on Sunday afternoon, so you're going to do it. Huh? Now, it's not just reading, mind you. Mm-hmm. I'm having to back time into network news.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. No pressure. And, of course, I sounded like, well, you would imagine on the air.
Because you don't need dead air, of course.
That, too. No. Plus, you're looking up and you're trying to work. You know, as all of us are aware, you have to operate on three different levels. Mm-hmm. Read the copy, read ahead of it. Plus, you got to be cognizant of what's around you, like the time. Mm-hmm. So, and I'm looking at that. Okay. I got better at it, but that was that and just it was, you know, nervous at first, but I think you still get a little bit of butterflies when doing it.
Yeah.
Well, even today, I mean, you know, prepping and everything.
Oh, yeah. Remember my first day on the air at Channel 14, I was doing sports, and I knew nothing about local sports because Mike Blake at the time, his wife was having their first child. Mm-hmm. So he was at the hospital.
Yeah.
And my first day of job, they said, well, Mike's not here, so you're doing sports tonight.
Like,
so my first day, they throw me on the air doing sports. So, but that's how you learn.
Yep.
Sure.
That's right. And you didn't have time to really think about it. You just, okay, you know, it's 6 o'clock or time to go on the air. You got to do it. So I guess that's the excitement, though, of this business.
That's the dopamine effect, I think.
It is. Yeah. It really is. Wow. Okay, Rob, we talked about your career.
Yes.
Now let's talk about the enduring qualities of radio. First of all, right, it's portable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, my gosh, you're in your car, or you, whatever, you know, in your ear.
We grew up everywhere. With six transistor radios.
Yeah.
You know, carried around with a little earbud.
I know. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's free, of course.
Yeah.
It's adaptable, changing technologies. Now, smart speakers. I mean, my gosh, it's everywhere.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's inclusive. All audiences are welcome.
Absolutely.
And that's why it's endured. Mm-hmm. Now, radio personalities on WGBF, a lot of folks still remember Marv Bates, of course, who did all the Aces games and the triplets,
and
of
that
course.
Was an art form, to be sure.
Yeah, when watching he recreated the baseball games.
It was amazing.
The triplets. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he was on, I think, the Tomorrow Show with Tom Snyder.
Yeah.
Had him as a guest.
Mm-hmm.
And he explained how he did that. And I watched him at work.
Mm-hmm.
He had little floppy disks.
Right.
With sounds on there.
Magnetic floppies. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Remember those things? Mm-hmm. Floppy disk? Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And somebody saying, popcorn, you know, and then the crack of the bat and the people cheering.
Yeah.
And he would get a ticker or something.
Yeah. Edie, his wife, would run information from the ticker down the long hallway of WGBF into the studio and lay the stuff down in front of him, and he would take a look at that and recreate the baseball game right before your ears.
Amazing.
It was. I don't know how he did it. I don't know. And, it didn't sound bad at all, you know.
You never knew.
NBC, when Joe Garagiola came in and did a special on him doing a game, and as he was doing the game, something got in the way of it, and that was the Vietnam War came to an end. And so I got one of those rare ding, 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 10 bells, and I went running into the studio. Uh-oh. And a producer stopped me and said, hold on, we're doing a show here. And I said, well, I'm doing a show here too. The Vietnam War just ended. We got to get it on. And Joe Garagiola said, yeah, go ahead. Let's hear it. So I was on NBC announcing the end of the Vietnam War from the AP Wire.
Oh, wow.
So you got to be on NBC and you got to be at NBC.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, we both have our moments on the network, didn't
that's
we?
Right.
That's right. That's uh-huh. right. Now, were you... at WGBF, Randy, when the UV plane crash?
Absolutely.
Happened? Yes.
Okay. Yeah, one of the worst moments of my life.
Yeah. And you had a broadcast that Marv Bates was on that plane.
Yeah. Well, Edie came in and told me, she said, Randy, the families all know now. You can announce it that it was the UV team. Up to that point, we held back on the information.
Yeah. I know. I was on the air, too. Yes. We held back, too, because you don't want to put something on the air like that.
No.
My gosh. I was so paranoid. Everybody kept saying it was UV and UV. I said, well, I don't have any official word. We're not going to go with it. You know, I don't want to go there.
Wasn't an issue that the plane was delayed, so many people thought that it wasn't the plane.
Yeah, right. It had already taken off, and it was already in Murfreesboro where it was going.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my goodness. So you were working then.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, I anchored that.
Well, of course, Marv is revered, definitely.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we talked about J.C. Curlin. There was John Story. Remember John Story?
Oh, yeah. He passed away a couple of years ago.
Worked with him for years.
Yeah. Great voice. Chuck Foley. Remember guy Chuck Foley?
Yeah, he played his jazz.
Yeah, he was a jazz guy.
He also had a wonderful show, 9 o'clock every morning, The Swap Shop.
He did the swap shop.
Yep. Oh boy!
Before we changed the format, and so
I'm sure that was popular.
It was. Marv would say, "Okay, this is the swap shop. This is where you sell your crap and somebody else sells their crap over the radio."
That's right. Oh boy! And of course, before my time, there was Pat Roper.
Yeah.
And you said there's an obit about her.
Yeah,
an obit.
Yeah, I found an obit. She died, I think, in the mid '60s.
Yeah, and she was a musician.
Okay. Yeah, she had a piano right there in the studio.
Yeah, she had a piano in the studio.
Right.
And she would have guests in, very popular. And I think she also did some of the management work there, too, at WGBF.
She was program director for a while.
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Gene Crawford, Toast and Coffee.
Yeah.
Wow. And, of course, like back then, the HDJ did play their own favorite music. Mm-hmm. And I've talked about Martin Like was the general manager when he hired me at WGBF. And you worked for Martin?
I did for a while. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. And the transition over to, when we took over the station.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, when it was talk radio, the popular shows, Rush Limbaugh, of course, was very popular. I'm sure that boosted the ratings of WGBF during those years.
It was an interesting story how GBF got brushed. They had leased the Newburgh AM, which had all those talk shows, and there was a flip-flop. So they put the talk format on 1280 and gave the sports format to 1180, and that's how they kept going talk on there.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I know Don Imus did the monitor, NBC's weekend monitor.
That's interesting. Did GBF air Mr. Imus?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
I found a recording where he's playing Nutbush City Limits, and I thought, I wonder if GBF aired that.
It was Imus in the morning on the weekends on monitor.
Yes.
Right, there you go.
I recorded some of those because they were hilarious.
I bet.
And I kept thinking, this is WGBF playing Don Imus, and he was just wild.
Martin Like would have said, no.
Anyway. And Bill Cullen was on NBC Weekend Monitor, and he interviewed me when I covered Bull Island.
I was going to ask about that, who the host was.
It was Bill Cullen.
Yeah. Okay.
And he goes, we're going to go now to Dave Longest.
Yep, right.
That was my air name then, covering the Bull Island Rock Festival and along the Wabash River and
Soda Pop Festival.
My favorite was
Soda Pop Festival.
David, has the band showed up yet? Well, we don't know yet.
Right.
because people were just.
I love your coverage of that.
The reason how I got there, Lynn Wells was at the Grayville Mercury Independent. He was a reporter there, and we got there by boat.
Yeah,
because everybody else was I-64 was clogged with all the traffic and everything. People were walking through the fields, cow pastures and stuff to get to the festival site. So he said, let's take this John boat. So we got in Grayville and went down the Wabash River and saw the people swimming nude in the river and everything.
I think we're close.
Yeah, I said, we're close. Right. We're close. So we kind of wandered through there, and it was just like all these people tents and just nasty. Mm. Just a nasty sight. And nobody was really there yet. Uh-huh. And a couple of people were performing, but nobody was really listening. It was really a mess.
We got plenty of food here. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, he was asking me all these specific things.
I said,
nothing's really going on. I'm sorry. But I did my thing, Anyway, okay.
Got the story. I'm going.
Right. Now, my guests are Randy Wheeler and Rob Calhoun. We're talking about radio history and the recent shutdown of 1280 WGBF AM. Evansville's first radio station. So changes in technology, guys. In your careers, what are some of the big changes you've seen in
tape recorders?
Really?
Pardon me. When I started out, I was working in Rockford, and I would cover city council meetings on the sixth floor of the city building. And I had a Wolinzak tape recorder.
Oh, goodness. They weigh about they weigh about like a Yugo.
It sounds monstrous.
Real Wolinzak up six stories to get up to the area behind the council chambers.
Yeah.
And then I had to, every half hour, go running back to the tape recorder to change the 7-inch reels another reel.
Mm-hmm.
Got back to the studio, and I'd have usually three or four reels of tape. And then I'd have to proceed going through there and cutting up the tape. Yeah, actually cut tape. Chopped it with a little, what do they call it? A little steel?
Yeah, the little bond thing.
Little,
like razor blade and all.
Yeah.
It's a little tape.
And edit your tape, and you get it ready to go on the air the next day. And
You kids don't know what you have to go through, guys. You use your wave editors.
Yeah.
Well, we shot film
at
14. Yes. And you had to splice the film.
Yeah.
And that's hideous.
Oh, yeah.
Because it would always break.
Then you had the development aspect, which took how long?
Oh, yeah. Developing the film took, at least a half an hour.
Yeah.
And you're facing a deadline. Yeah, yeah.
Then you had to back time.
Oh,
because
yeah.
it took a while
had B-roll,
for the film
A
to come
roll
up.
And
yeah.
B-roll.
Right.
You had two different cameras going at the same time. Projectors.
Crazy.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
It's a mess. So, Rob, did you have any issues with some of the early equipment?
Actually, it was pretty. We were well equipped at VLK. We usually had slightly ahead of everything. One technology that didn't go over well, which GBF did, was AM stereo, and that's kind of a long, weird story. Effectively, they came up with a standard, the FCC, and one engineer who wanted his to be the standard caused a riot about it. He basically started filing appeals and everything. So, the FCC decided, we'll just let the marketplace decide, which was a bad idea because there was a 3 in 4 chance of your setup being a boat anchor and you were spending tens of thousands of dollars. And the bottom line was, with AM radio, the interference issue is always a bad thing. So if you were hearing AM stereo in the perfect environment, it sounded great, but you get out there near a power line and it just went. So
boat anchor, explain that.
Boat anchor in the sense that there were four systems. And they said, okay, we're just going to pick, we'll eventually see where the marketplace decides. So if you were an owner and you're spending 50, 60 grand on the device that makes you go AM stereo, and then you find out that, it's not the right device. And there were stations ready to go AM stereo for years. I mean, I know VJS was, but they waited because they just didn't know where it was going to go.
Yeah, it was like the old beta VHS battling tape, Couldn't decide on which one to
Except it
go
wasn't,
with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It wasn't a $500 VCR. It was a lot more,
right,
unfortunately.
Yeah.
And you're talking big money there.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
With small budgets.
Yes.
That always happens.
The other thing, I guess, digital technology. And all these people go enough about analog, liking the scratches and hisses. I'm like, no, I don't like that. So we got, CD technology. And then we got into digital recording. When I worked at WEKU, we had one of the first DAT machines. So instead of taking a reel-to-reel out, we could take something about the size of a VCR.
Yeah.
So you had that technology, and then we graduated into production, where at first it was what we call linear production, kind of what Randy was talking about. You had to listen to it. Well, now we have something you can put up on a screen, you can point your mouse to it, and
Zoop.
Skip through it.
Uh-huh.
And that's the greatest thing in the world. And the thing is, with those programs, anybody can have them. Mm-hmm. So it's not like the days you had to go out and buy a reel-to-reel. You can download a free program. So it's easier to make content now.
Yeah.
And you can be a one-man band.
Yeah.
I am.
And now most of the content people listen to right here. Okay. You know?
Exactly. On
That's
phones.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. On your phone.
And they record that way too.
Amazing.
You watch network news now and you'll see reporters out there holding up their iPhones or whatever. And
it's a good microphone.
It's a great little microphone.
Yeah. And the quality's good.
Amazing.
And plus the programs have the ability for you to work on them on the phone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can edit right there in the field.
You don't have to worry about the Wolinzak out in the field.
That's right.
Well, still to come, we're going to talk about the future of radio. And I know some car makers are not including AM radio in their EV models.
Gone.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And why supporters say AM radio stations should stay on the air.
Mm-hmm.
They're important. I'm David James. This is 2 Main Street. We'll be right back.
Your first tri-state radio station, WGBF Evansville.
Welcome back to 2 Main Street. I'm David James. If you are just joining us, we are remembering Evansville's first radio station, 1280 WGBF, which is now silent for the first time in more than 100 years. Now, here are some early programs and performers on WGBF: the Drifting Pioneers, the Singing Cowboy and His Troop, the Black Knight, the Masked piano maestro, the three Everard sisters, Whistling Marion Jones, Margie Knapp, cooking expert, Grace Field and garden guru, the flower lady, Mrs. Lewis Korff, and the Happy Valley Boys, just to name a few. My guests are Randy Wheeler and Rob Calhoun, local radio veterans. Radio program, of course, evolves over time. WGBF, like many stations, changed formats, became the rocker. We talked about Wolfman Jack, then conservative talk radio. The future of AM radio, we talked about many stations are going silent. About 4,000 AM stations still in the U.S. still operating. I'm sure that number will probably dwindle
rapidly
over the next few years.
Yeah.
And we talked about a campaign by the National Association of Broadcasters to keep AM radio on the air.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Rob?
Oh, boy, do I have an opinion.
Good, good.
Okay, overall, I have a problem with one industry telling another industry what to do. And the thing is, on the car dashboard, we used to have A-tracks, cassette, CDs, and eventually the marketplace obviously decided. And what's going on is the NAB is upset because they think they're going to lose all this revenue not having an AM radio there, but they're kind of missing the point because they forced this issue, but they've missed the retailing issue that you can go to any big box store and not find an AM radio.
That's right.
You might find a boombox with an FM radio, but that's it. But it does agitate me on that point that, you know, it's like, look, you know, you're trying to push a consumer behavior that doesn't exist anymore. And that's why I get a little weird about that.
Well, of course, I think their push was that to keep AM on the air is providing emergency information and natural disasters.
Yeah,
and that's emergencies.
And that's another weird thing. I mean, as I jokingly said a while back, you know, they want to put them in the EVs. Well, if there's an EMP, an electromagnetic pulse, it's going to wipe out everything anyway. So, I mean, it's just wishful thinking. I mean, again, that's just my opinion on it.
And some car makers are removing AM radio from their new EV models.
Yeah, it's a matter of the interference issue because you've got so much going on and building filters to keep that
electronics
out.
Yeah.
And they don't want to spend the money to correct that problem, do they?
Well, yeah.
They don't see any future for the format, so, you know.
Right, okay. Yeah. So what's going to happen to AM radio then, guys? Is it especially fade away?
Fade away.
Pretty much. I mean, even around here, I mean, I can't think of one AM that's standalone. Everybody's got a translator. And they, most of the time, will even keep it on the air. The AM's on the air. They forget about it.
Yeah.
And it's worth noting, GBF almost got a translator, but it was decided to sell it off to another entity locally.
Explain that, translator.
What happened years ago, this is the logic of this business. AM was having issues, so they said, you know what, we need an FM. So they took advantage of a rule called the translator rule, which is, in essence, let's just say if there was a big hill between here and Owensboro, WNIN could put a repeater station to give Owensboro coverage that would be blocked. So they finagled the rules to say that these AMs could have an FM. So they get this 250-watt FM signal. And they pop them on the air, and the byproduct, you're on FM. Most of the time you don't mention your AM anymore. And lastly, a lot of these people don't monitor the AM. So most of these AMs that are supposed to be on the air when the translator is on the air are off the air because they forget about it.
Any new stations coming on board?
Oh, goodness. There's no room in this market. Literally, the dial is filled.
Really?
Unless you want to buy one, and then that's going to be a lofty price. And then you have to pay off the loan amount.
Right.
You know.
So what would a signal go for?
Oh, goodness. Well, I think 73.
Are you interested, David?
No, I'm not. I'm just curious.
You got 73 mil. You can buy the South Central stations. That's what. Well, they probably want more than that now.
Yeah.
But to give you an idea how messed up this is, when WSTO and WVJS was sold to Brill Media, they paid, I think it was $8 million. Now, what do you get for $8 million? Property? No. You got a couple of broken down transmitters, and that was it, a couple of vans. Because that was the money to convince Century to give you the license. And then when John David Engelbrecht bought STO, he paid $13 million for one station and got kind of the same deal. He got a transmitter. He got some CDs, but no really physical property outside of the amount of money to convince Alan Brill to sell him the station. So that's the crazy. And then you have to make up for that financial obligation.
But it turned out to be a pretty good deal because that – coupled with WIKY.
Yes. There was a happy
ABX.
Ending. There was a happy ending.
Yeah.
Yes.
$73 million from here. He did pretty well on that. Yeah.
I know University of Evansville had a station.
Yes, they did.
WUEV.
Yes. Yeah.
And they sold that. Did they sell that signal?
Yes, they went to Caleb. No, or no. Yeah, not Caleb. What's the other one? Maybe it is Caleb. Way FM. That's who bought it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I guess that was a financial move for the school.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it, in their mind, was overhead. They weren't getting much return on the investment.
Mm-hmm. I just always got the impression that there was maybe a small few that cared about it.
Few cared passionately about it.
And that was it. And
well, they had the jazz programming, I think.
Yes,
that was very, very popular.
Yes. Yeah.
And, mm-hmm. and it was an outlet for the students to learn how to get into the business. We are saying goodbye to WGBF Radio, Evansville's first radio station. A lot of memories, the glory days, familiar voices and programs. But, you know, over the years, radio has survived over and thrived in many markets, mm-hmm. in this market as well.
Yes.
I mean, the quality survives, right?
Absolutely.
You got to have the program. You got to have the people.
You got to have it's the product. You got to have some reason for the listeners to tune in. And more listeners tune in, the advertisers go, we'll go with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you have to invest.
Oh, you that. Now, wait a minute. There's this thing called an end-of-year bonus that vice presidents get. That's the kicker, too. I really wish you'd see more investment, especially programming and even promotion. You got to put your name out there, especially in a diary market, but that's decisions made beyond me.
So what do you guys see for the future of this market in radio?
I think it's going to be a good future. Mm-hmm. We've got some good competitive radio stations. We have some good teams and good names, and you build a relationship with an audience. And I can think of a couple of good, you know, teams around here. Mm-hmm. And, of course, public radio. Public radio is going through some tough times because of some decisions beyond their reach in Washington. But as a result, they're getting good local support, you know, as is the case with WNIN.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you have good journalists like John Gibson, you're going to have good listenership.
Well, thanks for the shout out there. We appreciate that. Well, you know, NPR, since I started working here, it's an education.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I sit down and listen to the program, and I learn so much.
Absolutely.
And it's such a variety of stories that they cover.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bold, too.
Yep. Yes, they are.
They are bold, and you have to be now.
Wasn't that a nice setup I gave you, by the way?
Well, you did. Yeah, you did a very good setup. So NPR's hanging in there. We're hanging in there. Public media we're doing our best.
Fabulous product.
All you can do anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
People are listening to radio. Any stats to share? Are the demographics good?
Yeah, it kind of depends. It's always good in the money demo. That's always where it needs to be, and that's where all the
25-54.
You got it. Yep. Especially if you're a woman.
That's it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's the sweet spot, huh?
That's the right sweet there. Spot, baby.
Yep.
I know the car manufacturers, the car dealers are a big, big advertiser.
A buyer awareness cycle. You might need a car tomorrow, so head on out here to whoever.
Yeah.
So you guys, have you ever done any commercials there, Rob?
Oh, yes. I've not done any TV commercials. I do voice work, but
I've
done one or two stand-ups. But
any unusual products that you've talked over the years?
I can't think of any. I've done some phony commercials for some false products, but, you know, nothing that stands out. Usually it's just, here we go, just read the copy and be done with it.
Have you always done news then, Randy? Have you done any spots?
I've done commercials? Some spots when I was at WLBK in DeKalb. That was just part of the deal. You know, everybody had to do their spots.
Yeah.
And John Ripplinger, who was a...
John.
Yeah, mm-hmm. John and I worked together at WLBK in DeKalb, and we did the Sunday, beautiful yours 30 drag strip. Be there.
what day is it again, Randy?
Sunday.
And your radio hours, have you had some unusual hours?
Oh, goodness.
Oh, absolutely. That's part of the deal.
Yeah.
Yeah. All hours are radio hours.
Yes,
something happens, you go.
Yeah.
Like TV.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
Nobody respects 3 in the morning while I'm sleeping. Then go.
Yeah. How many snowstorms have you driven through?
Oh, good heavens.
Yes.
I remember a snowstorm, and you probably remember it too, where it was almost impossible, but we did it, to get up the hill. Because you were right across from us at Channel 14, WIKY.
Yeah.
And getting up that hill, we got so far in a very nice sob, and then we all had to get out. Diane Douglas and DJ B and me and the man who was driving the car, who was our general manager, we just, you know, mushed it up the hill to get to the radio station just in time for them to go on the air at 6, I was supposed to have a newscast. I just ad-libbed all over the place talking about the weather.
All you can do.
And your own experiences.
Now, yes.
Getting exactly. to the station.
Right? Now, I was told by Bonnie Garwood the secret mm-hmm. was to go up on Mount Auburn there, up St. Joe, because it's the grade up St. Joe is not as bad.
That's right.
And apparently, well, plus on top of that, too, the city tends to clean Mount Auburn Hill pretty quick, hopefully.
They do.
I didn't notice that last snow, but, you know.
Uh-huh. And we used to park down at the lot down there. Mm-hmm. At the
Stockers?
Yeah. Yeah, yes. We parked down right. there and trudge up the hill.
Uh-huh. And then you tire tower ice, the other thing.
Oh, yeah, you had to watch. We had to wear helmets.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ice was falling. They all gave us like these hard hats yes. to wear because of the ice was falling.
Yeah, and we had dishes from our networks. I would yeah. have to go at 4:45 in the morning out there with brooms
yeah.
mm-hmm. and clean the snow and the ice off the dish, or else we didn't have network feeds coming in.
I still have to do that at Pelzer with my
you
networks.
Do. Yeah. Okay.
One other question, Randy. Were you there when the big fire at Wiki?
No, I was not. Well, I was at GBF at that time.
Okay.
It was shortly before I moved over to WIKY.
Okay.
And we had an opportunity at GBF to repay WIKY. Because when GBF had their fire on yes. Diamond Avenue, WIKY oh. said, hey, we'll give you some cart machines, we'll give you some turntables, and, you know, get you back on the air. And so when Wiki had their big fire, we did the same thing.
Quid pro quo.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you one more I found mm-hmm. in my research, that when WGBF had an FM years ago,
mm-hmm.
and they had something going on. I can't remember if Wiki had a problem or if it was the FM, but the same deal happened.
KC-103.
No, this was actually the original FM.
Oh, okay.
That one that was on in the 40s and 50s.
Oh, all right.
They had an issue, and there was mm-hmm. a situation where GBF, and so it's always been a friendliness of broadcasting, even yeah. though it's, you know, competitive.
Yeah, that's right. true. That's mm-hmm. true. I always enjoyed that when I first started in broadcasting, mm-hmm. that we, you know, we'd be competitive, of course.
Yeah. Yeah.
But afterwards, we're all buddies. You know, we,
sure.
we've all been through the same wars.
Yeah.
We know the same problems.
Mm-hmm.
We all have the same issues with management. So
yeah,
that's
right.
what Hagedorn's was for at the bottom of the hill.
That's right. We endured, and we yeah. just enjoyed the medium.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We really do.
And okay. it was fun. Once a year, you get together for the awards
oh, that's
events,
right. yeah.
you know. Eat some rubber chicken and have
right.
a beer or two
that's
and see who
right.
wins the awards that year. And
that's right. Ubiquitous rubber chicken.
Have the three beers first and the chicken tastes beautiful.
Oh, that's
it's
right.
Much better. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, guys, this has been a lot of fun. We could go on and on with our radio memories. My thanks to Randy Wheeler and Rob Calhoun. Turning up the volume mm-hmm. to keep radio history alive. Thanks a lot, guys.
You're welcome.
Thank you, David.
Great to be here.
Been fun.
I'm David James, and this is 2 Main Street.